In the name of Jesus, amen. There was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. 12 years is a long time to be sick. It had to be absolutely awful for her. I can't imagine it. Her body was almost consumed. I'd imagine her mind too. The ravages of the disease had taken its toll. Absolutely afraid to leave the house, she was. That is, if she wasn't homeless already. When you see the homeless woman panhandling, think about how awful this would have been for her. And to live with such a disease, as some of you well know, is to live in constant fear and uncertainty. Every time the bleeding started, she had to wonder, will it stop? She gets lightheaded, anemic, she has no energy to do anything. Will it ever stop? Will it stop this time? And to wonder that for 12 years took a toll on her. She'd tried everything. Homeopathic remedies, solutions shared by friends, clinical trials that she'd heard about on the radio, Eastern medicine, Western medicine, vitamins, constant visits to the doctors, many of whom, Mark tells us, did nothing but lighten the weight in her wallet. Although I'd like you to know that Dr. Luke has a very different perspective on this, as you might expect. But nothing worked. She kept getting weaker. She kept getting worse. And to add insult to injury, being unclean because of this discharge of blood, she couldn't approach the Lord at the place where his name dwelt. She couldn't come into the presence of her God. She couldn't get anywhere near the temple. There was a man she'd heard about, a man on the other side of the sea. Word was he chased demons from the demonics, brought healing to lepers and those consumed by fevers, even brought life to dead limbs, paralyzed legs, withered hands. And so imagine her emotions when she hears that this man from across the lake has come to her town that day. Someone once said that God's office is at the end of your rope. And you can well imagine she was sitting in God's office and had been sitting there for a long time. This man from Capernaum was her last hope. But he was more than that. Somehow, and of course we know that somehow is the Holy Spirit of God, but somehow she knew he could help her. And she put her faith in him, sight unseen, just because she had heard of him. As we know, faith comes by hearing. If I touch even his garments, I will be made clean. Not I might be, not it's worth a shot, not it's better than nothing. No, I will be made clean. She was convinced he was that powerful. Powerful enough to do with a touch what all the doctors had been unable to do in 12 years. And so she took a chance and she joined the crowd that day, apologizing to her neighbors as she elbowed her way through that mass of humanity till there he was. His back was toward her, but there he was. And reaching out, she touched it, the hem of his cloak. And when she did, she knew immediately. It was over. Stopped. She just, I guess, felt it. No more bleeding. She was healed. Her faith in Jesus hadn't been in vain. You've been there, haven't you? Or at least you have known someone who was or is even now, struggling for years, trying different doctors, getting your hopes up that this might be the thing that works, whatever it is, on your cancer, your heart, your blood, your memory, your weight, your Parkinson's, your addiction, that damnable disease that you've been fighting forever, only to be disappointed. getting to the point of hopelessness. You know how this woman must have felt. And you can also imagine her delight. What would you give to have an opportunity like this woman had, to have Jesus show up on Del Mar in San Clemente or up on PCH in Dana Point, that Jesus would show the same compassion to you and heal you or the one that you love, just like he healed this woman? Because after all, just like this woman, you've put your faith in him. I mean, after all, look where you're sitting, in his house. So why is it that you're not healed? But that's not all there is to the story, because this story's not just about healing. I'll grant that's what catches our attention. It does mine. Jesus, the great miracle worker, turning everything that touches him into gold. If that doesn't get your attention, nothing will. But that's not all there is. In fact, it's almost as if this absolutely miraculous healing, which indeed truly happened, simply sets the scene for the most important part of the story. Immediately after this woman was healed, something happens that no one expected would happen. Jesus stopped. Remember where Jesus was headed. He and his disciples were on their way to the bedside of Jairus' daughter, who needed healing. This was serious business. This needed to happen now because she was at the point of death. So no time to waste. No signing autographs along the way. No lollygagging along. But as soon as this woman touched his garment, he stopped. He knew. Power had gone out from him. And wheeling around, he asked the crowd, "Who touched my garments?" You can only imagine that when the woman heard that, you just have to imagine her panic. Her delight in being healed was annihilated with four words: "Who touched my garment?" She panics. "Oh my God, I shouldn't have touched him. What did I do wrong? What should I have done?" Caught, she was, trapped. Her little secret touch was out, and Jesus wanted to know who it was. "Who touched my garments?" In reality, it was a silly question. Everyone was touching him, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. It was the touch of faith. And Jesus wanted to know who it was that touched him. Now, I don't think it's so much that Jesus didn't know who it was, as it was an invitation for this woman to confess her faith. So this woman, seeing that she couldn't hide any longer, came forward and she fell at Jesus' feet. And trembling in fear, she told him the whole truth. She told him the whole terrible story, the struggles of the past 12 years, the doctors, the high highs, the low lows, the promising treatments and the dashed hopes, her feelings of despair and hopelessness. She told him of her faith in him. And she knew that he could help. It all just came gushing out of her. But it was all what Jesus wanted to hear. That's why he insisted on knowing who it was who touched him. He wanted to know who it was. He wanted to hear her story. But most of all, he wanted to help her in ways that she had never dreamed of. She wasn't interrupting him. She wasn't delaying anything. She hadn't done anything wrong. And he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Where does your mind go when you hear that? Does it go to the physical healing that took place? Does it go to that confusing connection of your faith and has made you well? Or does it strike you that Jesus calls her daughter. You know, we don't know anything about this woman. But for sure, if not just because of her disease, she felt like a person who had been sidelined in life, benched. She was an outcast, marginalized, lost, least. And just maybe you can relate to her because there have been times in your life that you have been sidelined by management, benched by your boss. You've wandered around in a crowd of people, maybe even out on the patio after church. And even though there are people everywhere talking to each other, well, they're not talking to you. You're just a nameless outsider, and if you didn't exist, no one would even notice. And for this woman, if you think that now she is going to be the belle of the ball because she has been healed, consider this. Consider how insanely jealous people who weren't healed were of her. Why her? Why not me? And her good fortune makes her even more shunned. But now, here, Jesus calls her daughter. Now by faith, she is a child of God, a member of his family. With that one little inclusive word, daughter, the bitter lament of this poor woman turns to hope. And bitter lament transitioning into blessed hope is where our Old Testament lesson comes in. Written probably by Jeremiah, Lamentations laments the sins of Israel that resulted in the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, and worse, the temple. The place where God's name dwelt is gone. But in the midst of such disaster, Jeremiah is hopeful. Yeah, the temple, the capital, their entire way of life had just come to a cataclysmic end. But Jeremiah had faith. He was convinced. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. You see, Jesus didn't have to stop for this woman. After this woman touched his garments, she would have been healed, as she was, and he could have just kept right on going. And there were people who wanted him to do just that. I mean, Jairus didn't want him delayed. His daughter's life was on the line. And the disciples urged him not to stop, but Jesus had to. His mercy would allow him to do nothing less. See, just healing this woman wasn't enough. Sure, she'd be free from her disease, and that's a big deal, I agree. But what about all of the other trials that she'd face later on in her life? Now, we don't know what her life ended up like. I mean, we can only imagine. Let's just assume. Let's assume she was going through that disaster of a thing called marriage for her. And the troubles that she was having with her kids, and inflation eating away at what little money she had. Sure, she was rescued from the discharge of blood, but what about all of the other hemorrhaging that was taking place in her life after that? And what about her dying alone on a dreary Tuesday evening in a nursing home where no one had ever come to visit her? What about then? At that point, not being healed and dying early might have been a blessing. No, Jesus had to stop. His steadfast love would let him do nothing less. Like this woman, we too come to our Savior in faith with our prayers and requests and concerns, and well, we should. In fact, he invites us to, and to not come is an act of faithlessness. But it's not enough for him to simply give us what we want and then just keep on going his way. He wants more for you than that. He wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. And most of all, he wants you to be his child, his son, his daughter by faith. Not an outsider, but a member of the family. Having the hemorrhaging in your life healed is a merciful thing. But know this, God's mercy doesn't only, I think you could even say it doesn't primarily consist of what he has to give to you or whether he does what you want him to do, nice as that may be, but rather his mercy consists in what he has already done for you. God's compassion for you begins and ends in Jesus. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God's mercies never end. In spite of all of the hemorrhaging that takes place in your life, you cannot, you will not be consumed. True, your eyes may think that you are being consumed. What you experience in your life may cause you to beg to differ. But at that point, like this woman, you need to see with the eyes that are in your ears. You need to look at the bigger picture. Because of the steadfast love of the Lord, his mercies will never come to an end for you, whether you're healed of your life's hemorrhaging or not. Because in great love for you, he took you and he washed you in the waters of holy baptism, cleansing you of your sin and declaring you to be a daughter, a son of God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. In great love, he doesn't just give you what you ask for or what you think might be best for you right now. Instead, he gives you what you need to lead you to eternal life. He sticks his words into your ears and he tells you, I forgive you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Hungering and thirsting for so many different things in this life, he bids you come and receive what you really need. His body, his blood, given, shed for you to strengthen your faith in him and to give you new life. For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And when you die, even there his love never ends. For connected to his life, death, and resurrection and baptism, you too will rise triumphant just as he did. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. That's what happened to this woman in our gospel lesson. True enough, she was healed from her disease, but she was given so much more than that. In fact, you could even say that that healing was the least of the miracles that day. And it's the same for you. Whether or not you are struggling with something right now, a bad back, diabetes, Parkinson's, heart disease, cancer, or something else, there's a far greater compassion being shown to you than simply whether or not you get what you ask for. For the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. The Almighty God, if you can imagine this, the Almighty God is at peace with you because of the shed blood of your Jesus. The things of this world will come to an end. Days come and go. Troubles and joys come and go. People, jobs, friendships come and go. Good times and bad times come and go. This country has come and given enough time, it will go too. But not your Lord and not his steadfast love for you. God's love didn't end for this woman. And it won't end for you either, because much more important than healing, more weighty than all of the things of this life, is what your Savior wants for you. What he's given to you. the greatest blessing that can ever be given, that you be called by God daughter, son, forever with him in paradise, in the name of Jesus. Amen.